Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Ryan Radzeski, here with Greg Baer, and we're the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids.
This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging, relevant, and equitable learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
On today's episode, we're talking with Jody Grant, Executive Director of the After School Alliance, a national nonprofit that works to ensure that all children and all youth have access to quality, affordable after-school programs. Jody, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Well, thank you. I am thrilled to be here.
Jody, we're thrilled that you're here, and you are based in Washington, D.C. And so before we dive into your incredible leadership with the After School Alliance, we want you to do a very D.C. thing, and that is give us a state of the union. Give us a state of the union about after school programming in the country. How are we as a nation doing in providing children and young people and their families with quality and affordable after school programming?
So I would say on the bright side, the programs that we have out there are incredibly popular because they are giving parents peace of mind, they're inspiring learning and engaging our kids, and they're helping communities while keeping kids safe in those hours after school. But the bad news is that we are not reaching nearly enough kids. And so across our country, we estimate that there are about 25 million kids whose parents want them to be in after-school programs, but they don't have access. And that is either because there's long waiting lists, they're unaffordable, or they don't have transportation, which of course can also be solved with additional funds.
And this is so important because I'm reminded again and again, you know, schools are important in kids' lives, and kids spend only 14 to 20% of their waking hours inside of school buildings. And so these after-school hours, to say nothing of the broader out-of-school time hours, are so incredibly important. And you lead an organization called the After School Alliance. So tell us about the After School Alliance and how you fit into this landscape of learning.
All right, well, the After School Alliance is celebrating our 25th year as an organization this year. So it's a big year for us. And we really see ourselves as the umbrella for all of the after-school programs out there. So we work with about 25,000 after-school programs, and our materials, everything we do is free. So we're trying to provide tools, resources, summaries of research that can be used for grant applications, best practices, with programs all across the field, no matter how big or how small. So we have allies in every single state that are working on policy, advocacy, and communications. And of course, we work with every large national provider out there. And we have a very simple mission, which is we think that every child deserves access to a high-quality after-school program.
When you think back on your work in D.C., are there legislative accomplishments that you're particularly proud of today? Policy changes in the after-school field that have made that access to affordable after-school programming more widely available?
We are an alliance, and I think that the after-school field is strong and stronger than ever because of all the different players. And in my time working at the After School Alliance over the past 20 years, I think I've seen government at its best. At its worst, too, but at its best, because, you know, our secret sauce is actually local programs and local voices. And what we've seen is that when local after-school programs, when parents, when students, when mayors, community leaders reach out to their policymakers and say, this is what this after-school program is doing in our community, that's how we really build support. And so we have been able over the years to have leadership from both sides of the aisle, Republican, Democrat, rural, urban, suburban, that understand how not just keeping kids safe, which is an important part of the programs, but how these programs are really inspiring learning and doing things like introducing our students to different types of careers and opportunities, that it makes a huge difference in their communities, not to mention the flip of that, which is that if students aren't in school learning and they're not in after school learning, it doesn't mean they're not learning. And we want that to be a positive experience with role models and mentors and healthy relationships with peers, not something that may be less healthy or even criminal. Those local voices are absolutely our strength, and I have seen multiple times where funding for after school has been threatened, and to be fair, it's been threatened by Democrats and Republicans, where a coalition of members of Congress, both Democratic and Republican, have managed to stick together, listen to their constituents, and vote not only to save after school from cuts, but in some cases to actually expand funding for after school.
And Jody, you said a few things there that I feel like we just need to underline, because I'm sure our listeners, some of them are thinking like, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about after school? We're talking about those hours, primarily like 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., could extend beyond that, start a little bit earlier. It's a place to which kids go. It's a safe place. Ideally, there's access to nutritious food. Maybe there's academic types of things happening there, focus on literacy and math. But sometimes it's also introducing kids to careers or potentially new hobbies in the arts or robotics. Can you give a little color to what we're talking about when we're talking about after school?
You know, when we talk about after school at the After School Alliance, we're talking about comprehensive programs. So we're not talking about a karate club or a chess club, which is great, but we're talking about programs where all of that might be part of a whole. So ideally in these programs, particularly for our students who are food insecure, there's a meal. That's something we fought hard to do policy-wise, to change it from a reimbursement for a snack to a reimbursement for an actual meal. And then there's usually some type of academic support. It might be homework help. It might be acceleration for kids that want to do something that's not offered during the traditional school day. And then there's all sorts of enrichment. And it looks different for every different community. And then even within communities, it's going to look different, because the program that you're going to have for a third grader might look really different than the program you're going to have for a 10th grader. And I think one of our greatest strengths is that most after-school programs are reaching out to other actors and stakeholders in the community to meet the needs of the kids in that community. And some will have, you know, a literacy component, some might have a math component, some might have a heavy academic component, some might be focused on digital arts or career exploration and focus on that. And I think this no one size fits all is really important. You know, after school's always been voluntary. So parents choose to send their kids. And then what keeps us on our toes is kids have to choose to stay, especially the older they get. And I think that's why you see some of the most exciting curriculum around happening in the after school space.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you, Jody, can you talk a little bit about how some of these comprehensive after school programs are changing? I imagine many of the folks listening were maybe participated in after-school programs themselves and are going back to that place as kids. But I'm wondering, how are things different today? And how do you see them continuing to change and evolve in terms of how these programs serve children and youth in the years to come?
I think the programs are far more sophisticated than they used to be. So I think if you look back to my youth years back, you always had some great programming for kids. But I think now there's a lot more science that goes into the curriculum. One of my examples is I was at an after-school program, and I went to watch the kids, and they're all playing on the playground. And I'm talking to the leaders of the program saying, like, you know, you bring a policymaker to see this, and they see kids running around on the playground, which is nice, but you don't think learning. And then they explained, well, actually, we're working on social skills. And here are all the different ways these kids are interacting. And we're standing back and we're supervising to make sure that there are healthy interactions. But then they started walking through some of the curriculum they're doing. I was working with United States Tennis Association, and they were incorporating all sorts of science into a tennis game. You know, how are you doing a spin? What are the dimensions of the courts? How do you keep score? So I think there's a lot more attention on how do you create engaging curriculum, but also making sure it meets, whether it's the social needs or the academic needs of the kids. So I don't want to minimize how much relationships are essential to our space. And I'd say, you know, the Search Institute has done a lot of research on developmental relationships and how that one relationship with a caring adult can make a huge difference in the trajectory of a child's life. And we know self-reported from kids, that's most likely to happen in the after-school space.
Jody, I can hear your leadership just coming through. The After School Alliance is celebrating 25 years, a quarter century. You've been leading the Alliance for 20 of those years. What keeps you engaged? What keeps you excited in leading forward the work of the after school community?
Well, first, I have to say I have an amazing team. And when I arrived at the After School Alliance 20 years ago, there were three other team members, and they're still there. So I don't do this alone by any means, but it's a really easy answer to your question, which is that every time I visit an after school site, I'm inspired. I have been able over the past 20 years to travel all over the country, and everywhere I go, I meet incredible adults and inspiring students who really are being given opportunities that they didn't even know existed.
This is Greg Baer. I'm here with Ryan Rudzeski, and we're talking with Jody Grant, Executive Director of the After School Alliance.
Jody, I want to ask you about one of your organization's most well-known initiatives, and that is Lights On After School. This is something that dates back to the turn of the millennium. I believe it was October 2000 when this first got started. We've been celebrating it every year here in Pittsburgh for as long as I can remember. I know lots of other places are celebrating it too. What is Lights On After School, and what does it aim to accomplish?
Lights On After School is a tremendous opportunity to showcase all across America and often on military bases abroad what after-school programs are doing to literally keep the lights on for our kids, our families, and our communities. And so it has developed since 2000 into this huge opportunity to highlight after-school programs at the local level. We believe we had over 8,000 different events last year, over a million people attended. We light up fixtures from, I went once to South Dakota, where we lit up Mount Rushmore, to the Empire State Building, to the Frederick Douglass Bridge here in Washington, D.C. I know we've lit up some pretty big monuments in Pittsburgh. And it can be as small as an auditorium where students are performing or showcasing some of the work they do in after school, and you bring the community together, to a huge statewide event in, you know, a professional football field where people are showcasing all across the state what's going on. And the goal is really, like everything in after school, no one size fits all. Every program and every celebration is unique, but it's a chance to shout out locally about what's going on. And then because it's all coordinated, it's a great opportunity to really educate the public and bring in the media to let people actually see firsthand what's happening at events across America. This year was a really fun one for me because we had a honorary chair whose name is Usher. And so Usher, he's a product of the Boys and Girls Club and deeply, deeply committed to our space. And so we did a big kickoff event in Detroit that was all about career exploration and showcasing how students in Detroit in this particular Boys and Girls Club were literally getting paid to explore different jobs that were real jobs in their community, whether it's radiology, dentistry, fashion design, computer programming, et cetera, et cetera.
So for our listeners, I'm sure they're thinking, like, what is it that I can do? How is it that anyone can make their voice heard, whether it's in Washington, D.C., or in their own backyards in Oklahoma City, Boston, Columbus, wherever they may be?
I would say more than ever, it's really important for you to let your policymakers know that you care about after school. And it's imperative at the local level and at the state level. We have a bunch of cities and states that are putting money into after school so that our children that cannot afford these programs can still attend. Pennsylvania is one of the states where there's a real effort to put more money into after school. So I would encourage people to reach out to their mayors, their city councils, their county executives, their state senators, governors, house members, but also it is critically important that you reach out to your members of Congress. So it's upon us to do all we can to remind everyone out there that after-school programs are making a huge difference in the lives of our kids, our working parents, and our communities, and that we need to be doing more to reach those 25 million kids and not cutting back anywhere.
So Jody, we've been playing around with what we call the lightning round, in which Greg and I are going to ask you a couple of rapid fire questions, and you can just answer with the first thing that pops into mind. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right.
I wouldn't be, but yes, you go.
So. I hope so.
Jody, you have been elected class president twice. And to make that even more impressive, you were elected class president at Yale and then again at Harvard, where you went to law school. So two-part question. What is your secret and what did you take away from this experience?
I really like people. And I'd like to believe that in both cases, I was available to listen to my classmates and peers and then take action to implement what they wanted.
When you were a kid, what after-school experience left the biggest impact on you?
My relationships with adults outside of school by far had the biggest impact on me. And when I was in high school, I had a teacher who was never my actual teacher during the day, who really encouraged me to get into statewide student government. And I think that was a pivotal moment in my life. I didn't realize it at the time, but probably helped shape who I am today.
What is the coolest or most unusual or most surprising after-school experience you've encountered over the course of your career?
One of the coolest things I've ever seen was when I was in South Dakota in front of Mount Rushmore celebrating the programs there, and Rapid City, so rural western South Dakota, has one of the best unicycle teams in the world. And it started because one of the educators at the program had a passion for unicycling and shared it with the kids. And these kids would literally travel the world in unicycle competitions.
I love that. A student or a program that best embodies why you do what you do.
You know, recently we did a big event at a program here in Washington, D.C. called Life Pieces to Masterpieces. It's a program for Black and brown boys. It starts with them when they're, you know, 3 years old and then literally goes through college where you have older youth that come back from college to work with these kids. And you walk into that program and they use art to deal with emotions and they do collaborative art and you can just feel the love. And I think for so many kids that I've talked to, and this program is the epitome of that, they talk about their after-school programs as a second home and a family. And it just makes you really appreciate just how important these places can be for a child.
Jody, before we go, just one more question. What's one thing that parents and educators in and out of school can do today to make tomorrow a more promising place for every learner?
I would encourage everyone to use your voices. As I said earlier, I think local voices are the way to really influence policy. And if we want to make a difference in making after school its very best for all of our kids, we need to let our policymakers know, whether we voted for them or not, that this is what we care about. And we can make it really easy. People can go to our website, www.afterschoolalliance.org, sign up for our alerts. You put in your zip code and we can help you send things out. But don't underestimate the power and influence you have as an individual that lives in a community.
Thank you so much to Jody Grant, Executive Director of the After School Alliance. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org.